part, like I said, is stress, strain, discomfort. Think about sports. Is performance easy? Has anyone been involved in performance sports like hockey or athletics or something? Has anyone? Okay. Is performance easy? Alex. Is it sweatless, effortless? No, it's not. The same with Christian walk. You know, God says that we are to persevere. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed are those who persevere. Remember that verse? Blessed are those who persevere. That's the call for our lives, you know? When we think to live is Christ and to die is gain. Oops. Okay. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Or, I have fought the fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That requires perseverance. And one word for clearly is James 1:12. Blessed are those who persevere. And it's not about, I say this often, you guys don't have stray dogs in Canada. I have not seen a stray dog ever yet. I mean, back home, they're like part of, like, you know, they see squirrels here often. And that's how we see stray dogs back home. They don't climb trees, but they do something else at trees. Sometimes when it rains, you see a dog that has no shelter just sitting on his back paws and just waiting for the rain to stop. Just waiting. It's just miserable and wet and cold and whatever, and just does nothing. Just, you know, endures the rain. That is not the perseverance that James is talking about. When you think, blessed are those who persevere, it's about seeing that it's hard and making a clear commitment to push through, to push on, to keep on doing what God has called you despite whatever life throws at you. You know, for those who win, they stick to the end. That's the, you know, there's a word that's made up, but it sounds fun. Stick-to-itiveness. You know, stick to it until the end. And that's what God says by, blessed are those who persevere. Third idea about fighting the race and about, fighting the fight and running the race is the Christian life requires discipline. Okay, so it's worth fighting. Just to recap. First point was, it's worth fighting. Never forget, it's a good fight that's worth fighting. Two, it requires perseverance. We must press on despite whatever comes our way. Three, requires discipline. Hebrews 12:1. I don't have it written here. Usually I print my verses, but let's actually read the Bible, not just have it here for fun. Let's see. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let's also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The author of Hebrews mentions here something called encumbrances. You know, it's a fancy word. I had to actually Google it to find out what it means. But it's things that can stumble you, things that can get in your way and make you stumble and fall, or stop you from achieving or running the race. You know, like when you try to run with your shoelaces tied. You know, have you tried that? It's fun. Kids do it. Never mind, I'm not going there. Actually, we're visiting a very good friend of ours many, many years ago, and their child has those, what do you call those in English? Like a panties, and anyway. And they were like loose. The kid was like 6 months, and I tied. No, she was walking. So I tied the bottom part, and I have her walk. It was so fun. Anyway, it's like that. And trying to walk with her shoelaces tied, that's encumbrances. But how does that translate? It's a fancy word. How does it translate in today's life? I'll give an example. You have to preach next day. Well, let's say not preach. It's too personal. You have to go to school tomorrow. Do you have, is it? Yeah, it's Sunday. And you have a test, and you know you've studied, and you're pretty well set for the test. So therefore, you relax. And you play video games until 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you sleep in, and you miss the test. You know, that's one example. Or it's things like, Okay, everything that's too much, that takes away from what, takes our focus away from what we should focus on, it's an encumbrance. You know, and it could be fine, could be great stuff. Prophet Elijah was talking to Prophet Elisha, you know, back in 2 Kings 2. Elisha, Elijah, it's kind of mixed up. Elijah was the older guy, Elisha was the younger guy. And Elijah asks Elisha, what do you want me to do for you? I may have said this before here. Have I? No. He says, Elisha, the young guy, says, I want to have a double portion of your anointing. And Elijah says, that's not easy what you ask of me. But if you see me when I'm taken away from you, it shall be done according to your request. So Elisha, the young guy, had one simple task, to keep his eyes on Elijah. What happens that very moment? A chariot of fire comes down from heaven and separates the... Oh, I was at the men's study, I said this, the breakfast, and separates the two of them. What was Elisha's task? To keep his eyes on Elijah. What was the challenge? A nice chariot of fire to come between the two of them. You know, almost like we say back in Newmarket, a squirrel. You know, it's something that draws your attention away. And all we know is that Elisha got what he asked for. Therefore, he must have kept his eyes on the task. He saw Elijah going up to heaven. You know, life can throw things that are very awesome in our path, but are just encumbrances that take away our attention, our focus from God. So the second thing that out of Hebrew mentions here is encumbrances and sins that can stop us from running the course. And let's be honest about it. It's not nothing to joke about. It's our constant daily fight with our human nature, with our enemy, the devil, and the sins that we all have to deal with. They're different. My sins may not be like your sins, and I know we're just different because our temptations are different. I would never be tempted to get drunk, for example, because I don't like alcohol, you know. And that I can be in a bar, you know, spend hours in a bar with people that drink, and I would just not care. You know, it's not my thing. But, you know, set me up in a computer that has, you know, nice video card and, you know, give me three, four games that I have never played before, and I may spend too much time on that computer, and that's my temptation. So I have to guard myself or ask my wife to guard me, you know, or combination of both. I have to fight my own temptations, you know. So remember, if you think that Christian life is worth fighting, that Christian life requires perseverance and discipline, part of it is our constant fight against sin. Do not take sin easily. Do not find excuses for it. Do not try to justify it. Saul, the guy who was awesome, I mean, how's he, handsome, and taller with a whole, you know, what's this, almost a foot than everybody else, he always found excuses for his sins. When he did something against what the prophet Samuel told him, he always finds something. Well, you were late, or this happened, or that happened. It was never his fault. He found always somebody else to blame. Just like Adam in the garden. You know, God comes, you know, against them, comes and seeks them up and asks, Adam, where are you? And God finds them and asks them, what's going on? And guess what Adam says? The woman, no. Here, listen. The woman you gave me. Whose fault was? The woman you get. I mean, come on, it's in our nature to blame others and not own our sins. You know what happens? If you don't own your sins, you don't change. And I want to change. When people draw my attention and tell me, you know, that was not right or that was, you know, wrong or something, I want to change. I want to be open to listen and to be blessed by discipline. That's something people don't really understand. Discipline is a blessing in a church. It's my right to be disciplined, and the church has the obligation to, in love, to discipline, because if I don't get disciplined, I don't change. You know. So anyway, let's make this long story short. Fight against sin. That's part of our daily walk with God. To live is Christ. To fight the fight, to finish the course, means also to fight against your own sins. Do not take that lightly. Do not take that easily ever in your lives. If I know one thing, this is not in all my notes. Pastor Lou Warad has, as he taught through the Old Testament, I was his translator back in Romania for like, I don't know, 10, 15 years. He said one thing on and on and on. Sin has consequences. You may choose your sin, but you can never choose the consequences. They come no matter what. Sin has consequences. And I'm done with this. Okay. Christian walk requires to press on. So, one, it's worth fighting. Two, it takes perseverance. Three, it takes discipline. Four, it takes a mindset of pressing on, that you are not yet there. I met a guy back home. Anna knows him, and I'm curious if she guesses who. I met him with him once, and we're just discussing about, you know, life and Christian walk and Bible and whatever. He says, "Well, I know the Bible. I read it twice." That moment was like a red flag coming to my mind. Okay, he says he knows the Bible and he read it twice already. I've been reading the Bible for 20 plus years, and the more I read, the less I know. The more I read, the more I understand that I lack so much. You know, I read more and I realize there's so much more to find out. And this guy said, "Yeah, I'm good. I read the Bible twice. I know everything that's known." And I realized he had this mindset of, "I'm good enough. You know, I don't need to put any more effort because, I'm good enough. This is, I learned this in Canada." That's the opposite of to live is Christ. That's the opposite of I want to fight the fight, to run the course and to keep the faith. Because when you think you've arrived, when you think you're good enough and you stop trying and stop growing, you go downhill. Same guy came a couple of years later, and he said to me one day, we're having coffee again, said, "Adi, I have to tell you something. I made a mistake." I was, okay, whatever. I was waiting for something to have a 6-month-old baby. Okay, that's not a mistake. The guy was not married, by the way. He comes telling me that, you know, I have a baby with this woman, and I want him baptized. You know, I was back in Romania. It's like, oh boy. You know, if you think you're arrived, you stop growing, and you actually go south. And you'll never, never reach the goals of crisis for you. Yeah. I forgot about this. I just remembered today. Okay, Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14 actually explain this in much better words than I could ever say to myself. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren and sister, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I forget what lays behind. I do not let the past dictate my present or my future. And I press on. I reach towards the goal that lies ahead. You know, I press on because I know it's worth it. Sometimes, and that's a side note, when you fight the good fight, when you persevere, when you get disciplined, when you want to press on, the devil throws at you, you know what? Memories. He tries to make you stop, not by showing you how hard it's going to be, but by showing you how much you failed in the past. We all have, you know, a past. Skeletons that are either in or outside the closet, we all have them. And sometimes the grief, the regrets, the burden that comes with memories of past failures just stops in our tracks. And the devil knows that. The moment you lose hope because you failed in the past, you don't push forth anymore. And I want to encourage you, your past is past. It's gone. It's forgiven and it's forgotten. Your future depends on what you choose today. So if you're still burdened by past guilt and past failures and past sins, just let go before God. Go before Him and say, "Lord, I have all this in my life. Please take it away from me." And He does that. He carries our burdens and He sets us free to run the race as He wants us to. Guilt is dealt through repentance. And the moment you repent, you're free. God forgives you. Anyway. forgot what. My numbering is wrong on the page. But anyway, it's worth fighting. The Christian walk is a fight that's worth fighting. It requires perseverance. It requires discipline. It asks for you to press on, forgetting what lays behind. Just press on. And fifth, stay on track. The course here is the same word that can be used for race or for like a course that you take. You know, the image is the same. There's a course set in front of you, and you must stay on the course in order to fight and finish the race, because it's easy, so easy, to lose focus and steer off the course. How do you keep your focus? How do you keep your eyes on the goal? How do you keep your feet on the race? On the track that's set before you. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can actually sing that. That's how I have to sing a thing of the song. So I can. But thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know? So Paul, when says, I have fought the fight and I have finished the course, he adds one more thing that's essential. He says, I have kept the faith. And that takes us to the last 2 points. What does it mean to keep your faith? You know, it's simple. And I cannot make it, I do not want to make it any more complicated. It's believing God's word, trusting God's wisdom, and having confidence in his promises. I say it again, to believe what God says, to trust in his wisdom, and have confidence in his promises. But to know that, to know his word, to know his wisdom, to know his promises, you have to know your faith. You have to study, to meditate, to live it out. You know, just like Psalms 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the company of mockers, but says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates upon it, upon the law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields its fruit in season and out of season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So I emphasize the part of the psalmist says here, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates upon it, upon the law day and night. So, you want to run the race? You want to fight the fight? You want to stay the course? It's easy to veer off if you do not know God's word, if you do not know his promises or what he has done for us. We need to know his wisdom, his word, and his promises to be able to keep the faith, to keep our faith. And it says, Paul says again, guard the truth. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. And it says in verse 5, keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. In 1 Timothy says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of scripture, to the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's 1 Timothy 4:13. So there is a great commissioning from Paul to Timothy and to us also, which means defend the truth. You know, we're living in North America and in a Western world, but it's not just here. It's all over the place. The truth is being attacked. And I don't have to, you know, say much, because you know all that. You know, the morals, the ethics, the word of God, everything is under attack. Our way of life is being attacked. Why? Because the devil hates God and hates us. You know, it's easy. God hates you. The devil hates you. Erase this from the message. Oh, God loves you, but the devil hates you. I made this mistake once in Romanian, because the word hate and ugly are the same in Romanian. And I said, you are hated by the world, but it came out as you are ugly in the world. But that's not what I meant. Oh, but I'm all blushed, I bet. There is no news to you that you have an adversary who hates you and wants you to fail and end up in the, you know, in the ditch, in the mud, with no hope and no power to try anymore. There's no new news here. We need to keep our faith, to fight the fight, and to keep the course. And that says we must guard the truth. Preach the word. You know, not just on Sunday mornings. When I say preach the word, I don't say, you know, become a preacher, go to seminary and be a preacher. No. If you know God's word and you read your devotionals, you know, you just, you know, swipe into what's, there's so many apps with devotionals, and you read it and it just touches your heart. You go to school or you go to work or you go, I don't know, to your spouse and say, look what God said. Or maybe just that something happens that day that comes against that verse, and you say, that's wrong because, oh, it's not, it's Canada. I cannot see God's wrong. I'm trying to very PC in Canada. It's really hard. Because Romania, it was fun. You could just say whatever you think and nobody would care. I cannot say to a youth, that's wrong, because they say I attack their self-esteem. But sometimes we're wrong. Let's admit, I'm wrong many times. My wife can vouch for that. I don't believe I can say that. The word is the one that corrects us. James, first chapter, verses 17, 18, 19. The word is like a mirror unto us. We look and we see. And if we're not wise, we walk away and we forget everything. But if you're wise, you keep on seeing what God is showing you and you change. That's the point. When God speaks to you, he wants you to change. When you guard the truth, you help others to change also. Not because you want them changed because they're not like you, but because you see God's word, you see God's standard, you say, we must be all as God has asked us. Last verse here. I promise you it's the last verse. Present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. That's for all of us, not just for preachers, not for elders or pastors. It's for all of us because we're all workers before God. You may be young or old, woman or man, you know, it doesn't matter. Canadian or immigrant, I mean, we're all Canadians, I guess. WASPy or, you know, Romanian or Chinese, it doesn't matter. We're all workers before God. So we need to handle the word of God as he has asked us. To live is Christ. It's possible. Believe me, it's possible. You know, despite all the failures and the regrets of the past, we all should be able to live here saying, to live, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We should all be able to leave here this place saying, I want to fight the fight. I want to finish the course. I want to keep the faith. Even if you came here with regrets and failures and sins, you can live this place changed because it's your choice before God. He wants you to say those words. He wants you to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry, change me. And that's what he does best. He changes hearts of men. Your life can be filled with victories or regrets, or maybe a mix of both. And you may wonder if it's that possible. And I'm saying it again, it is possible to say, to live is Christ, to say, I'm fighting the fight, I'm running the course, I'm keeping the faith. But for that, we might have to do adjustments. Look back and ask ourselves, is that really true? Remember that eulogy thing I began with, when you think about what people would say at your funeral, what you even would say at your funeral. If I want my wife to say, my husband lived for Christ, my husband fought the good fight, my husband kept the course, my husband fought the fight, that starts today. For some, it may have begun 20 years ago, 40 years ago. For some, it may actually start today. For some, it have begun a long time ago, but you have stopped because of something, some encumbrances or sins that came to your life. It can and it should start again today. It's your choice. Whose applause do you want to hear? And I lied. Sorry for that. I repent about my sin. I will go to one more verse. is in John chapter 12. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. And this is the key verse, 43. For they loved the approval of man rather than the approval of God. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible for me. When God says about someone, he loved man's approval more than my approval, that's really, it just breaks my heart. So today, going back to live as Christ, the world will oppose you. People will hate you for that. Do not get me, you know, wrong. You will not have an easy life. It's a promise. Those who choose to live a life of godliness shall be persecuted. I have no idea what that verse is, but it's in the Bible. Paul said it. Those who choose to live a life of godliness will be persecuted. I bet you someone will Google me right now. Make a choice. Whose applause do you want? Whose approval do you want? God's or man's? If you choose God, then for sure, in that moment, you can say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You can say in that moment, I am fighting the fight. I am running the course. I am keeping the faith. Matthew Henry said, let it be our constant endeavor by the grace of God that we finish our course with joy. Fight, persevere, be disciplined, press on, keep the course, keep the faith, guard the truth. Choose whose applause, whose approval you want in the end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us once again this morning, reminding myself as I read and studied, and reminding us here as a fellowship, that our walk with you is a lot more a fight than a mall walk. And I know that even if things get difficult and there are trials and tribulations in our path, because of you, because of your grace, we can run this race. We can finish this course. We can fight the fight. Father, it's not by my strength. It's not by my power that we do this. It's so much above and beyond what I can do as a human. So I'm totally and solely dependent upon you, Lord, and your grace. So I do pray today that you come and strengthen my heart and my walk. You come and strengthen our walk together as a fellowship, and you help us be the light you have called us to be. We do confess that sometimes we fall prey to even our own sins or the lies of the devil or the guilt of the past, and we just stop fighting. But I pray today, Lord, that you refresh our vision today and refresh our strength today and help us to start again running the course, to start again fighting the fight, and to be able to say every single day that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, this is the words I want to hear and want to say every single day. Amen.